But leave your family, your friends, and everybody and go into land that I'll show you. And God spoke to him. He was 75 years old when that happened. And verse 4 says, he departed from Haran. He made a commitment to follow God. A commitment is involved in building an intimate relationship. Secondly, notice what I said, how many times if you just read the life of Abraham, here's what you'll discover. That most of the conversations that Abraham had were between him and God. Abraham developed a listening heart. He knew how to listen to God. Friend, you'll never develop an intimate relationship to him until you learn to listen to him. And how many times, and God said, and God said, and God said, and Abraham did, and Abraham did. God is speaking, and Abraham is listening, and then God, and Abraham speaks, and God listens. Have you ever thought about that? When you speak to God, humanly speaking, so to speak, he stops everything and listens to what you have to say. That you can get the attention of the God who created this universe. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been down praying and you were talking to the Lord and your mind wanders? All of us had that experience, right? Let me ask you this. How many times have you ever been praying and you had to say, God, I don't think you're listening. You're not paying attention to me. You got your mind on something else. You've never had to say that because God listens personally, perfectly, and he listens as long as you and I have something to say to him. You build a relationship by making commitments. You build a relationship by learning to listen to what the other person, listen, is saying, what they're feeling, where they're hurting, and you learn to listen to what they do not have the capacity to say. Sometimes that's not easy on a human level. But if you and I are going to develop an intimate relationship with him, which he, and you'll notice all the way through, if you read the life of Abraham, Moses, and David, just those three, here's what you'll discover, that God's always taking the initiative in building the relationship. And God spoke to David, and God spoke to Moses, and God came to Abraham, revealing himself, unfolding himself, showing himself, speaking. God is always the one who is taking the initiative in building an intimate relationship. And you'll find all through here that he's listening. Now, I want you to go back, if you will, to chapter 12 and look, if you will, in verse 7. Because one of the areas that is so important building an intimate relationship is time of fellowship. It says, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. He'd already begun to speak to him. And then in the 13th chapter and the 4th verse, here's what happens. Abraham went up from Egypt, and he's moving along here to the place of the altar, verse 4, which he'd made there formerly. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And here's what you'll find. It's interesting here how the two of them sort of converge on the scene here, and they converge on the scene there. And Abraham builds an altar, and he worships the Lord. And the Lord comes to Abraham and speaks to him. What is absolutely essential in building an intimate relationship but prolonged fellowship? You can't build an intimate relationship with anybody if it's, how you doing? Glad to see you. Praying for you. That's not building an intimate relationship. Building an intimate relationship demands and requires periods when just the two of you are together alone. How much time in a given week does your Heavenly Father have you all by himself? I don't mean driving an expressway. He hasn't got you by yourself if you're driving an expressway. I mean, think about this now. The God who sent his Son to the cross and who created everything, he wants to build a relationship with you that is so intimate. You see, the truth is, God doesn't show himself to folks who are always fast on the move. He can't. You can't build an intimate relationship with somebody if you just pass them in the dark. It demands prolonged time together. Just the two of you all alone. Now I want to ask you again. How much time in a given week does God, your Creator, Sustainer, Savior, Lord, Master, and all the things you call him, how much time does he have you all by himself?
You're listening to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. How much time do you spend on your most important relationship? If you're a believer, don't let anything get in the way of investing in your friendship with God. We'll hear more about the difference between favorites and intimates tomorrow. And you can listen again when you click the Today on Radio link at intouch.org. And that's where you'll find free resources to help you become more closely connected to Jesus. If you'd like a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, Favorites versus Intimates, open our online bookstore to place your order. Again, you'll find these resources at intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. To write to us, address your letter to In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. There are many ideas about who the Holy Spirit is and how He interacts with us. Some clarity is coming up in today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
Are you living a life of preferences or one that's based on God's Word? To enjoy a strong life, one that makes an eternal impact, we have to break free from the factors that make us weak. In Dr. Charles Stanley's book, Standing Strong, believers will find encouragement to construct a life based on the strength of enduring faith built on uncompromised biblical convictions. To order your copy of Standing Strong, call 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org.
Does your prayer life need a jump start? With the In Touch Praying with Purpose cards, the time you spend talking with God will take on a whole new level of energy and intimacy. Beautifully designed and easy to use, or to share with a friend, there are prayers to lift up each day of the month, along with corresponding Bible verses and more. For your set of Praying with Purpose cards, call 1-800-INTOUCH or go to intouch.org/store.
You're listening to In Touch. The Bible talks about receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. With insight for believers, here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
Here's what the Bible teaches. When you're saved, at that moment He says you were sealed under the day of redemption. Now, indwelling of the Spirit is something that happened at salvation. Being filled is something that I choose to allow to happen or not to happen. And either then I operate or preach out of the Spirit, or I do it in my own strength. And so there is an experience, but the experience is surrender to Him, not me getting more of Him than I already have. I preached a series on the Holy Spirit, and this lady came up to me after about the second sermon. She says, "I don't understand what's going on." I said, "What's the matter?" She says, "Well, all this talk about the Holy Spirit, you ought to be talking about Jesus." I said, "Well, think about this. Jesus said to His disciples, when the Spirit comes, He will speak of Me. Nowhere does it say that we're to even pray to the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Spirit always refers us to Jesus. That's part of the work of the Spirit. But if I don't understand who He is, that He's a person of the Trinity, I don't understand His work, I could be confused. But Jesus personified the Holy Spirit. He made it very clear how important it was to His disciples. And He said to them the night before He was crucified, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He was encouraging them when the Helper comes, when the Spirit of truth comes. And so He made a big emphasis on the work of the Spirit in their life. And therefore, if He did so, it's because He knew they needed that to live it out and to carry out His mission.
You can learn more about the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life at intouch.org. And if this program has encouraged you to know Jesus better, please let us know. Tomorrow on In Touch, it takes time and effort to develop an intimate friendship with God. We'll hear two more qualities that help believers cultivate close fellowship with the Lord Friday on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. According to a recent article in the Los Angeles Times, a record 4.2 billion people could vote in elections around the world this year. To be sure, too many of these elections will not be free or fair or secure. Some view these failures as proof that democracy just doesn't work. The world wasn't always like this. Before America's founding, representative democracy was far from the norm. Even then, it wasn't expected worldwide. As Christian ideas about universal human dignity and value expanded across the West, so did the notion that all people should have the right to participate in their own governments. In the early 1800s, French philosopher and political historian Alexis de Tocqueville visited the newly independent United States. In his famous published collection of observations, Democracy in America, de Tocqueville credited Christianity with giving the world its first real philosophical foundation for real democracy. The idea that humans had inherent dignity and were therefore equal to one another is a uniquely Christian idea, argued de Tocqueville. And fundamentally, unlike the utilitarian philosophies, that gave rise to the so-called democracy of ancient Greece. Well, obviously, democracy in America at the country's founding also fell disastrously short of this ideal. Slaves, women, even free African Americans were denied the right to vote, and particularly in the case of slavery, were treated as subhuman. The truth, held to be self-evident that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, was an aspiration that was not met. However, it is because of this aspiration that we recognize our profound moral failures as a nation in the first place. In the same way, the corruption and the dishonest elections we'll likely witness around the globe this year do not prove that democracy is a bad idea. Rather, they prove another biblical description of the human condition, that humans are fallen and are subject to sin's corruption. This was another of Alexis de Tocqueville's observations. That just as Christianity provides the philosophical and moral grounding for democracy, Christian morality is the only system that can keep it from devolving into tyranny. A democracy can only be sustained if informed citizens operate within a shared moral framework. That, in turn, requires an understanding of the world as it actually is, especially an understanding of what it means to be human. Elected representatives who aren't able to distinguish between good and evil, or between man and a woman for that matter, can hardly be expected to enact policies that allow men and women to commonly seek the good. God, in His sovereignty, has placed us now in this moment. Among other things, this implies for us that we have a responsibility to be the kind of moral people upon which democracy depends. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. For more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org. Hi, John Stone Street here from the Colson Center. The dominant lie of our cultural moment is expressive individualism. The popular version of this is that simple phrase, follow your heart, or live your best life, or speak your truth, or you be you. In a new book, Don't Follow Your Heart, Boldly Breaking the Ten Commandments of Self-Worship, author Thaddeus Williams takes on these tenets of self-worship that are enshrined in our popular culture and tells us with theological vigor and personal depth how we can live differently, oriented fundamentally to God, and not just constantly looking inside. We're pleased to offer Don't Follow Your Heart, Boldly Breaking the Ten Commandments of Self-Worship to you for a gift of any amount this month. To request your copy, please visit ColsonCenter.org/January. That's ColsonCenter.org/January. Thank you.